Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. It's nice to see everybody after a little hiatus. After the summer, we did Hilchos Tshuva, so we haven't had our Halacha Shir regular, you know, Hilchos Shabbos since before the summer. So it's nice to restart. So we'll start a brand new topic, and we'll see how it goes. This is a shorter topic, so it will hopefully take us only a few weeks, and then we'll see where we go after this. What I'd like to begin is the malacha of tochein, grinding. Now, I assume most of you do not grind flour, do not have flour mills in your backyard or running through the streams in your backyard or connected to the windmills in your backyard. I assume that's the case. Therefore, we have to figure out where tochen will come to life in our kitchens and our homes. And before we do that, we have to find where in the Mishkan tochen happens so that we can understand why it's one of the 39 malachas. So who would venture a guess as to where in the Mishkan tochen, grinding into flour, was a necessary process? Sorry? For the Lechem HaPanim. What else do I hear? For the Karban Minchas. Where else, Sarah? Ketores, okay. So all of you suggested scenarios that the malacha was needed for the administration of the Karbanos of the Avodah during regular, you know, administration of the Mishkan. What you did not say is any scenarios where tochen was needed in the construction of the Mishkan. Do you hear the difference? There's a gigantic question. When we talk about the 39 malachas, and we talked about this once, when we started Bishul a year ago, just about a year ago today, we started Bishul and we said, wait a second, where was Bishul in the Mishkan? And, well, we have to figure out, are the 39 malachas that were involved in the Mishkan, meaning in the building and running and administration and avoda, or no? Maybe the 39 malachas are only those 39 malachas that are involved in the actual construction of the Mishkan. And we saw, if we take a year, a step back to a year ago, we started Bishul. Bishul is really a nickname for, anyone know the real name of the malacha? Not Bishul, but there's no Bishul. There's no cooking in the Beis HaMikdash. Except for like the Nazir Karbon, I think. But other than that, Hazroah HaBishela. Other than that, there was no cooking in the Beis HaMikdash. What is it really called? What is the Malach of Bishul really called? I'll give you a hint. It starts with an Aleph. Yes, Ofa. Who said that? You got it. Ofa. Where was Ofa in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan? So that was for everything that you just said. All the breads and the matzahs and the challahs and the lechem haponim and the shtei lechem for Shavuos. That's where Ofa happened. But that's a gigantic machlokas. If I remember correctly, Rashi says we're not talking about baking because baking is only part of the actual avoda, not part of the construction. And in order to qualify as one of the 39 malachas, it has to be the 39 things that were done in the construction to make a mishkan, not just in the avoda to run and to administer the Mishkan. And therefore, ladies, I ask you, where was the Ofa or the Tochein for tonight's shir in the construction of the Mishkan? Not in the Korbanos, not in the avoda, but where was it in the actual construction of the Mishkan? Wow, Ariana, you get a star. Yes, couldn't have said it better. For grinding up the dyes, and the dyes are necessary for? Yeah, the fabrics, the parochases, the clothing of the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, we're going to have a gigantic, just like we had a machlokas by Bishul, whether the malacha of Bishul is founded upon that which happened in the Mishkan. Was it the breads that they had to bake in the Mishkan, or was it the dyes by Bishul? The other opinion was that the dyes that had to be boiled up in a pot, how do you make indigo? Any of you ever see the Tchelis videos? they boil up something or other, right? You know, there's always boiling happening. So they boiled up the dyes, and they made indigo, scarlet, tcheles, argaman, whatever the other things, sheish. They boiled up the dyes, the leaves, I guess, or the whatever other material, in water, and that thick, colorful, you ever boil up a beet and you end up with borscht? That's, if it wasn't beets, it was some other fruit or some other leaf, it would end up being not borscht, but argaman. So, that was needed. That was the bishul in the Mishkan. And the other opinion says, no, the bread, the cooking of the bread, the baking of the bread for the avoda. Well, by tochein, let's now begin tochein. What was the grinding that was done? So you all told me the grinding that was done to make bread. That's if you hold that the 39 malachas could even be from the avoda in the administration, the day-to-day administration of the Mishkan. What happens if we assume that the 39 malachas are only if they were in the construction of the Mishkan? Where was their grinding in the construction of the Mishkan? Back to Ariana. The shmushing instead of, right, the shmushing of the herbs, the grinding of the herbs into some kind of powder that they could subsequently boil up into a dye, that grinding of those herbs for the dye will be the source for tochein. So we have a machlokas, really. The machlokas is the tochein in the Mishkan, of the 39 actions in the Mishkan, was it in the grinding up of the herbs, or was it in the grinding of the flour for the korbanos? And that's the same machlokas that we'll apply last year, that we applied last year, is the ofer, the bishul that happened in the Mishkan, was it in the preparation of the breads, or was it in the construction of the Mishkan for the dyes? So those two machlokases in the beginning of bishul and tonight in the beginning of tochein are really haba hatalia, one dependent on the other. So we have the historical background for tochein, and that brings us to start trying to understand what I can't do. So I can't grind flour. I can't grind something to make it into a flour. I can't grind something to make it into a powder. Let's say you have a medicine that a little kid needs to take. They're pills, and a kid can't swallow pills. So what do? You break it up into a powder, and then you give them the powder. Either you drop it into the applesauce so they don't realize it, or maybe they could eat the powder with a cup of apple juice or something. We'll talk about grinding up pills, perhaps. We'll see if that's going to or not going to be included in tochein. But let's just mention a few of the, just in time, but perfect timing. Let's mention a few of the, about 10 applications that we're going to hit on to apply to see whether tochein will apply to the following cases or not. One of them that might be the most familiar to us is dicing vegetables for salads. Is that breaking them up into small pieces such that it's going to be considered grinding? Mushing banana, mushing avocado to make guacamole, is that similar to grinding up flour to make, or grinding up dyes, is that make grinding up kernels of grain, I'm sorry, to make flour, or grinding up dyes to make a powder? What happens when you have strawberry jelly, you know, the preserve, not jam, but jelly with the preserves with like the big chunks, and you smush it and you compress it and like, you make that little strawberry or raspberry or blueberry disintegrate, sort of. Is that going to be a problem? Crumbling bread, like people do for the birds on Atashlich, which is a separate issue that might be a problem. Shaving chocolate shavings onto your fancy cream pie. Again, you're crushing chocolate into these little things. Maybe crumbling cheese. If you ever have a Parmesan, I don't know if Parmesan already comes crumbled, but let's say you have some like kind of feta cheese. Feta, what were you say? Feta cheese. I said it first, right? Feta cheese, thank you. I appreciate that. That you want to crumble it into your salad, is that you're taking a bulk of feta cheese and crumbling it into your salad? Is that like taking a kernel and crumbling it into a powder or a flour? Sugar cubes. Breaking down a sugar cube, is that the same thing? What about mashing eggs? You have a big egg, and you smush it, and you crush it into, well, it's not a powder, it's egg salad. Is that going to be the same? Mashed potatoes, you have a potato, a clump, and you're going to, you know, I need a better word for that, zoom or clump or something like that. Of course, salt, that you have salt in your salt shaker, and it's a little moist in the air. You live in a humid climate especially, or moister times of the year, and your salt cakes up, could you, you know, bang it or crack it so that the salt crystals break apart. We'll get to, at the end, crumbling the mud off our shoes. Is that also crumbling something that's sort of a solid into more of a powder? And those are some of the things that we're going to hopefully touch upon over the course of the next few weeks. And now we could start Hilchas Tochen. What is Tochen? Tochen is taking a larger piece and making it into smaller pieces. That doesn't matter if you grind it, if you crush it, if you chop it, if you smash it, if you dice it. We have lots of different English words, and you could probably find lots of words in Hebrew also. The words of the Rambam, I think, are very clear. Lokech guf echad. You take a body, one piece, umechalko, and you split it up, you divide it, ligufim harbe, to lots of little bodies. That's called tochen, and that's going to be the Isser of tochen. And okay, that's what tochen is. How are you, Rebecca? Yeah. Yes, the words of the Rambam is in Hilchas Shabbos, Zayin Hey, Lokeach guf echad, umechalko legufim harbei. You take one body and you split it up or you divide it up into smaller, multiple smaller bodies. That's what tochen is, grinding. Now, there are very, very, very few Gemaras, primary sources, that talk about what is tochen. As far as I know, there's not one Mishnah who discusses it. There's a Mishnah that mentions the 39 malachas, and at least one of the 39 is tochen. But there's no Mishnah that talks about what tochen is, what constitutes tochen. What we do have is one or two short Gemaras, and we're going to have to focus on those to get us all the details about tochen. So let me share with you the first Gemara. We were talking about borscht earlier tonight. The Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, 74b. Va'tochen. After the Mishnah lists the 39 malachas, it says tochen. What's tochen? Listen to this. Somebody who is, listen to these two words, parim silka. Silka is from which word? Beets, selek. If you remember, anyone remember the Yehiratzon that you say? Pretty close, yeah. She's talku son Eina. Very good, very, very good. Yes. Did anyone have beets on Rosh Hashanah? Okay, we had a big shiloh in my house on Rosh Hashanah because, on one hand, we want to have beets. On the other hand, my mother's beet recipe, and I don't know, that's just how some beets are made, is with vinegar. And you're not supposed to have vinegar foods on Rosh Hashanah. So, on one hand, you want to have the beets. On the other hand, you're not supposed to have vinegar. So, what do? So, this goes back to a very more fundamental machlokas in my family about having ketchup. What's the issue with ketchup? So, it's machlokas, my mother and my father. My father, I think, holds that... I don't remember who says what. My father likes ketchup more, so I'm assuming he's the one who says that you should have it. But the machlokas is that it's not vinegar, it's ketchup. Ketchup happens to be made with vinegar. So do you have ketchup on Rosh Hashanah? Machlokas, mommy and daddy. Ask them. So I think the same machlokas ends up being with beets. It's not, you're not drinking vinegar, you're eating beets that have some vinegar in it. So what I did was I used a tiny bit of vinegar, and I substituted the rest of the vinegar with water, and then I did sugar to counteract the vinegar. You always put sugar in. And we had our beets for Rosh Hashanah. So that's selek. So I take selek, and what does the Gemara say? Tochen is if I take selek and I am parim it, word I never saw before. We're not talking about cows, like par parim. We're not talking about cow. You don't cow the beets. I don't know how you would cow beets. But if you are parim silk, whatever that verb parim means, we'll see in a moment, chayev mishum tochen. That is a violation to araisa of this malacha of grinding. Says Rashi, what is parim? Parim is, in old French, anyone here speak French? Is there nobody here who took 2 years of French in high school? Come on. Anyone here French in high school? Any Canadians? No Canadians here? Not a Canadian in the crowd. So I can make Canadian jokes. Great. Okay, just don't tell my wife. So, says Rashi, la'az, that's Rashi's code word for saying, how is it in Old French? Because Rashi lived in Old France, right? Then it wasn't called Old French, it was called French then. Mintzir, the la'az. Oh, wow. That's so cool. We have a word just like that, to mince. I'll make minced meat out of you if you keep on talking to me, right? Mince, you mince, not with a TZ at the end, but a C-I-C-E at the end. So that's how Rashi translates the word as parim silka. You mince the... And Rashi explains, what is this word in Old French, mincir, in Old French? Mechatcho, you cut it, hadik, small, dak dak. Like they say in the words of the Ketoris, those of you who say Ketoris in the morning, it says, hadik, hetev, hetev, hadik, small, chopped into small pieces. So if you cut something to small pieces, that's in Old French, mincir. In modern English, I would assume that's to mince, to dice. And if you do that to your beets, that is tochein. Obviously, if you grind flour, kernels of wheat into flour, that's tochein from the, you know, presumably in the Mishkan, or at least according to one of the opinions. And so too, if you take a beet and you mince it, and you cut it into, you dice it into small pieces, that will be tochein. What you see from here, presumably, is that tochein applies to vegetables. If you dice, if you mince vegetables, that will constitute tochein. While we're in this Gemara, before we talk about getting into that point, getting a little bit more detailed about that point, about dicing vegetables, let's continue the Gemara with the next line. The next line, the Gemara says, Omer of Menashe. Another person, I have another illustration of somebody who does violate tochein. Somebody disalit silti. Again, excuse me, words that I'm not so familiar with. So, somebody who salit siltis is going to be chayiv for tochein, this is going to violate tochein daraisa. So what is this salit silti? Rashi says, you take wood and you splinter it, or you chop it into a tzim dakim to kindle a fire. A tzim dakim, what's dak? Thin, narrow. You chip a piece of wood, you have a log or a piece of wood, and you chip it into... I was a Boy Scout. Anyone here Boy Scouts? Girl Scouts, there we go. The difference is you sold cookies, I went on camping trips. That's the difference. So on those camping trips that we went on, we learned that there are three different kinds of firewood. Does anyone know the three levels of firewood? Does anyone know the three levels of firewood? No, but you know about chocolate chip? I'm sorry. Mint chocolate chip. There we go. There we go. I shouldn't joke. My son is from Cub Scout troop in Fairlawn. I'm trying to get my son into it. And they actually had a popcorn sale this past Sunday in EJ's. Anyone in Teaneck saw some Cub Scouts in blue uniforms selling popcorn? You're from Teaneck. You didn't go to EJ's? Did you go to EJ's Sunday afternoon? Okay. That's the problem. Okay. So there are three kinds of firewood. If you take a log and you light it on fire, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. Right. It will go out. You need to start a fire with something called tinder. Tinder is small things like paper, like shavings of wood, like the bark of a white birch tree. Yes, that's true. You can look it up, white birch tree. Then that's the thing that just starts the fire going, like matches, some very small things. Then you go to something a little bit bigger, like called kindling. Kindling are like wood, like the size of the thickness of your wrist and smaller fingers, wrist, small pieces of wood that will sort of get the fire to move wherever you want it to move. And then what keeps the fire going for hours? A big bonfire, that's called fuel. There's tinder, then kindling, then fuel. Those are the three types of firewood. Please get that down so that you all know how to light a fire next time you go on your Girl Scout camping trips. In other words, if you want to make a fire be successful, you have to have small chips of wood to start with. That's what Rashi says. Salat silti is chai mishim tochim. What's salat silti? You make etim dakim. You make small... Thin, dak is the word thin is probably better than small. Small, a thin pieces of wood will have ir ha'esh to catch the fire, to ignite the fire, to make yourself some tinder or some kindling out of the big logs that you have. That's the other example that you're chayav for tochein. I don't make fires too often. And even when I do, I don't usually chop the wood for them on Shabbos. But what very important fact do I see from this example that the Gemara gives me of tochein? Exactly. It's not just food items. Tochein does not just apply to food items. Tochein midaraisa does not just apply to food items. It even will apply to non-food items. That's going to be very important in all kinds of applications that we'll see over the course of the next few weeks. But at least if I do some wood chopping, if there's a tree that's in the ground, that might be a different malacha of tolesh, of cutting something down. But even if I have a felled piece of a felled log, not a fallen log, a felled log, that's correct English, I believe, then if I would chop it into small pieces, that would constitute tochein. Similarly, if you make, you want sawdust. Where do you use sawdust? I think I mentioned it in a shiur once. Let's see if anyone remembers the story. I didn't tell you the story of when we went to Target last year. I don't remember if it was me or my wife. It might have been me. Slipped. We had like baby food in a can, Gerber's baby food in a can. And something on the floor was slippery and we slipped and the can broke. You know, I tell this story. So the policy in Target was whatever you break while you're shopping there, if you fall, you get a free one. It was a shame because it was like 89 cents. Like I should have done it. Should have done with something much more expensive. So they want you to be happy so you don't sue them for, you know, hurting your hip or whatever else while you fell on the floor in Target. So what do they do right after you fall on the floor in Target? They sprinkle that place on the floor wherever it's, you know, slippery with some sawdust. You want to make sawdust? That would constitute tochein mida araisa, I assume. If you have a cat and you want to make this little cat litter or rabbit litter, I assume that would be tochein mida araisa. Now, next point. So that was the Gemara. The Gemara told us 2 points. We have dicing beets, and then chopping wood into smaller pieces for kindling and for tinder and for kindling. Those are the two stories we have, and the two examples in the Gemara of what constitute tochein. I will add that this is true. There are a lot of ways I could grind things up. I could grind things up with my hand. We'll see if we have any examples of those. And I could grind things up with a tool. What kind of tools can I use to grind, to do tochein with? What kind of tools can I use? Are the tools that would be necessary to do tochein with? Exactly, a mortar and a pestle. That's exactly what tochein was done. That's if you hold that tochein's source is the grinding up the herbs for the dye for the construction of the Mishkan. It was probably crushed in a mortar and pestle. Correct. What else would be a tool for tochein? Something that you have, that fancy people have in their kitchens. We don't. We're not fancy. The sinkerator? Yeah. Does it grind it, or it just like does magic and just goes away? Right, I think that's how it works. I don't think it grinds. I think it just makes it go away. Sinkerator, I think it's called. What?
A grater.
No, even simple people like us have graters. We have graters. Grater. Obviously, a Cuisinart or a food processor, even if you don't have the electricity aspect. The grater, because that's taking a big thing and making it into small shreds, we'll say. What else? Defensive people want? A knife. You're saying if I use a knife to dice something, to dice my silka, to dice my beets, that would be a problem. I guess it's not a specified tool. In Hilchos Borer, we wouldn't have called that a specified tool. We would call that an extension of your hand. But you're right. You could do tochein with a knife, but it wouldn't be a specified tool. What other tool do people... A whisk. I don't think a whisk breaks big clumps into big things. No? What? A masher. Certain kinds of mashers. Like, if we have to talk about mashing. We didn't get to mashing yet, but that would be a question. Yeah, if you have a masher tool... Yes, that's what I was thinking of. A pepper mill, right? Pepper mill? Did you ever go to a restaurant, a fancy restaurant, and you get like fettuccine, and the waiter comes around and with this little funny thing and goes like this on top, either with Parmesan cheese or with pepper, right? Fancy people and fancy restaurants do that. So all those things will violate tochein. Now listen to the following. Let's say I want to give my baby meat. Now, what happens when you give a one-year-old meat? They choke. So how do you prevent that from happening? What? You cut up into really small pieces, and if they're even younger than that, then you chew it a little bit. Now, obviously, whatever you chew while you're eating, that's not tochein. I mean, you are being tochein, but that can't be the tochein that the Torah prohibits. Because that's eating lunch. That's called eating, not called being tochein. However, if you would chew something up and give it to your baby, that, believe it or not, would constitute tochein. Even though you're not using a tool, you're not even using your hands, you're using your teeth, that would constitute tochein. and it would be a problem. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says in the Siman. There is no Siman that talks about Tochin. There's no Siman for Tochin, because Tochin is, like I said, a smaller topic. So Siman Shin Chaf Aleph 321, the Mishnah Berurah Lamed Vav, says the following. Any item that you don't want to eat it and taste it or eat it, but rather... Oh, I made a mistake. I'm sorry, I take back. He says if you're eating it or your baby's eating it, that's all called eating. So if you're chewing it for yourself, or you're chewing it to taste for yourself, or you're chewing it for your baby to eat, that's all called eating. I take that back. That's called eating. But you want to chew it for some other reason? Well, what is the kind of thing that you want to chew to break it down that you're not going to be eating or feeding to your baby? Anything? Let's say you want to put something, you got a cut, and you want to put some, you're out in the wild, and you want to put some aloe. Yeah? Do any of you have aloe leaves that you grow, like, in your kitchen by the window? You grow aloe, so you don't just take an aloe leaf and sit it on your cut. You have to chop it up, right? So let's say it's Shabbos. I don't know if you could do it for refuah reasons, but let's say refuah reasons aside, you want to crush some aloe leaves and put it on your skin or a cut or psoriasis or something like that. So you chomp on it a little bit, not to eat, not to taste, and not to feed your baby, but to grind it up, sort of. So that, says the Mishnah Berurah, would be usher, because that's tochen. Oh, it's doing it with a shinui, because that's not how normal people chop things up. So, okay, it might only be drabanan because it was a shinui, but that will still be usher, even though you used something as unusual as your teeth. That's as far as the introduction. Okay, so that's what we're going to talk about. We'll start with, well, that's exactly where we're going to have to, the direction we'll have to go. What are the parameters? We'll start, we'll have time for one general topic, and then we'll see if we have time for one other afterwards. We said that tochen is making a big thing smaller. Well, how small is small? What size do I have to break something down to make sure that it's okay? Well, I mean, the most obvious scenario that we could conjure in our minds, if I'm making a salad on Shabbos lunch, and I'm cutting up my tomatoes and my cucumbers, and I want to cut them, or carrots, I want to cut them small. There's another machlokas. My father likes the salad cut small. I like it the pieces bigger. So when we go to my parents' house, the salad's always cut small. In my house, salad pieces are bigger. So it's more of a shalom in my parents' house, less of a shalom in my house. But how small is small, such that cutting a carrot, a cucumber, a tomato, would constitute, or an onion, of course, would constitute tochen. Now here, the Be'er Halach, which is the Mishnah Berurah's sort of essay section in the Mishnah Berurah, again in Siman Shin Chaf Aleph, where all of tochen appears, he brings a number of Rishonim who say that it means dak dak. Dak, like thin, really small. Like in English, we would use the word dice or mince. Well, how small do you have to dice something or mince something? Then he says, that's all as far as, you know, if you chayv skila, you're right. You're only chayv skila if you minced it or if you diced it small. But as far as something being aser, yesh li zaher ma'od bezeh, you have to be very careful with this. Because the Sefer Yerayim, who was one of the Rishon, important Ashkenazi Rishonim, writes that the shiur, the quantity, the size of how small, how thin something has to be chopped, what is it? Lo noda, with an ayin. Lo noda lanu. We don't know. We don't have a mesorah. We have no shiur in halacha for how small is small. Or how big is big. How small is small enough that it's aser, or how big enough that it's now going to be mutter. So now I'm cutting my cucumber, and your roommate, your friend asks you, aren't you cutting that cucumber a little bit small for Shabbos? Isn't that tochen? What should you answer them? I don't know. Maybe. And therefore, how big or small should you cut your cucumbers? Big enough that your roommate or friend won't ask you, isn't that small? How big is that? I don't know. Try it. And see what gets your roommate ticked off and what doesn't. If it ticks off your roommate, then you should avoid it. If I mean, it depends who your roommate is, obviously. So ultimately, that's going to be the challenge that we're not really going to answer so clearly, because the Rishonim say explicitly, we don't know. It's hard for us to get, you know, to be more arrogant and say, oh, he, you know, they didn't know 800 years ago, but I figured out the answer. That's going to be a little bit arrogant if we would do that, and therefore we're not going to do that. And therefore we're going to be in a little bit of a, you know, a tough situation over the next few weeks, because we know that I can't make things very small. That's clear. That's definitely also Daraisa. But he says it's even going to be also to make it just small, not very small, but even small, because that is just in an area that we just don't know. So I have to avoid even that. What is going to be okay? Well, if it's not small. I do not have a better definition, nor do the Rishonim or the Achronim. But I will tell you something interesting. You remember the Gemara that I told you? There were two scenarios that the Gemara said. One was that you diced or you minced a beet. The other was that you chopped a log. Now let me ask you, just imagine in your mind. Picture somebody dicing up a beet at their counter. Now picture somebody in the forest with a big 20-pound axe chopping slices of wood. Now, do you think the slices of wood that he ends up with, or she ends up with, are the same size as those minced beet cubes? Probably not. A minced beet cube is, I don't know, a few cube millimeters, and a chopped, even a small piece of wood is probably, I don't know, the size of a finger or two. They're very different. But the Gemara said that both of them are chayiv midaraisa and would get skila, and you know, for all the, whatever all the details would be. They're chayiv. They're actually also daraisa. So how can you have two very different sizes? Fabulous. You could say it's proportional. You could say it's relative to what you're starting with, or what your, that's one way to say it, or to what your goal is. If you achieve your goal, if you have beet and you want to make beet salad, anyone here ever have beet salad? Beet salad, so beet salad, you take a beet and you cut it into chunks small enough to be in a beet salad. Well, that was your goal, so you achieved your goal. With wood, and you want to chop your wood into tinder or kindling for your bonfire, so it has to be small enough to achieve your goal. Whatever is achieving your goal, whatever, however small it is, that you achieved your goal of making smaller pieces out of a big piece, depends on the situation, that will be relative. So therefore, if you have a salad, and you like small pieces, and you cut bigger pieces, so they didn't really achieve the goal of getting the small pieces that my father likes, that would probably not really be, you know, achieving the goal. Well, on the other hand, you could argue you still made it small enough to put into a salad. So that we'll have to come and revisit. We're going to revisit making salad for next week, because there's another, not ingredient, but there's another factor that's going to change how we make salads that we have to learn next week before we talk about a better idea of the size that I'm going to be a little bit, next week I'm going to be a little better about the size for salads. But there's another fact that we'll have to learn meanwhile over the course of the next week. Just to clarify, let's say I want not to mince this beet into 624 tiny little cubes for my minced beet salad. Rather, I want to take one little cube off. So I'm not mincing the whole thing. I'm not chopping the whole thing up. I'm going to just want to break off or cut off a tiny cube. Can I do that? Or let's say I have a piece of wood, and I'm not going to chop this log into seven little mini logs. Rather, I'm going to just break off one piece. Okay, if it's attached to the ground, that's a different halacha. But if I just want to break off a piece, a splinter or something, a small splinter, the size that if I'd break up into seven pieces, let's say the shtender, this piece of wood, I would chop it, choo, 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 give it a whole bunch of chops, and I have strips that have these little pieces of wood. That would be, we said, that would be the malacha of tochein. Let's say I didn't chop the whole piece of wood, the whole plank of wood. I just gave one bang, and I just took this piece off. Would that be tochein? Similar to just taking one little tip off the beet? So there, as far as I understand, Rav Osner Rav in Bnei Brak, one of the Gedolim that we still have, says that's not going to constitute tochen. It's only going to be when you want to take something and get this bigger item shmushed, change the form of this initial item, make it into a shmushed item, a cut up item, a chipped item, and I transfer it from this to this, meaning I have to do it a whole bunch of times to make, I have an onion, I want to make diced onion, I want to turn this onion into diced onions. If I take a little piece off, that's not called diced onion. That's called you just broke a tiny piece off your onion. And that's not going to be the malacha of tochen. Which is going to bring us to the next question. And this question we'll talk about for a few minutes, and it is so halacha l'maisa. It is so halacha l'maisa. Until now we were talking about, let's talk about vegetables. We talked about minced beets. We talked about chopping beets. Let's talk about all vegetables, but let's talk about not mincing them or chopping them. What about slicing them? But I mean slicing them thin. Now, if you might take a tomato, I made myself a tuna fish sandwich for lunch and I had some slices of tomato. I take a tomato, I slice them to 5 or 6 slices and I took it with me for lunch. 5 or 6 slices out of a tomato, that's not so thin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you take a pepper and you make some beautiful slices for the pepper. Let's say you have some kind of string bean salad and you want it to be colorful. So you want some red pepper, orange pepper, green pepper, yellow pepper. So you want it to be some very thin slices. You just want the color accents there. And wait, when you made that slice, it wasn't chopped. You didn't dice it. It's not a tiny piece, but they are very thin. Is that going to be tochen? Or, equally common, you make a romaine lettuce salad or a lettuce salad. And you want to give it a little something. So what do you do? What do you put in? That gives it both a nice deep purple color and a little bit of zest. What? Onion, red onion slices. Those are very thin. They're small. They're quite docked. Now, they're not chopped in both directions. They're only chopped in one direction, right? They're long and thin. Those are very small. Is that okay on Shabbos? Do you have to slice those onions before Shabbos? So let's begin this discussion. This brings us to the only other Gemara that I saw in preparing for. Maybe I'll have more Gemaras for, you know, by the time we get to next week's shiur. But as far as for today, I only saw one other Gemara. And that's a Gemara in Shabbos, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. And the Gemara doesn't even talk about the Malacha of Tochein. The Gemara is a funny Gemara, actually. I think it's funny. But that might just have to do with my own sense of humor. The Gemara says, if you make a chavit, a barrel, you violated 7 averas, 7 malachas. I thought that was funny. You see? Then the Gemara says, if you make a tanur, an oven out of clay, that's a violation of 8 different malacha d'oraisas. And then the Gemara says, and if you make a chalta, chet lamed taf aleph, sort of like chala, but a ta at the end, with a taf aleph at the end, which is some kind of wicker. You know, wicker, you take like a wicker basket, you take reeds, and you sort of split the reeds. You don't use a whole bamboo shoot. You like cut the reed in like quarters, not along the axe, you know, like so you have long, thin strips, and then you take those and you weave them into a basket. So if you make a wicker item, that will get you a violation of 11 malacha d'oraisas. That's the end of the Gemara. So I thought that's sort of funny, because the Gemara doesn't tell you what they are. It just leaves it up to your own imagination, and or Rashi and the other Rishonim's imagination. So Rashi in each of these things has to think how, whatever, in Rashi's time, 700 years ago, 600 years before Rashi, 700 years before Rashi, did they make these barrels, and did they make these clay ovens, and did they make these wicker baskets and the like? And based on that, he's going to have to figure out the exact number of what malachas you violated to make the. That's why I just think it's an interesting, it's like a interesting mental exercise. So Rashi tells me, when I make this wicker basket, what malachas am I doing? First of all, you have to chop down the reeds that you're going to make the basket with. That's kotzer. And you had to, first you had to plant the reeds, then you had to chop them down. That's 2 malachas. Then Rashi says, you have to gather the reeds, you have to harvest them, that's ma'amer. Then you have to take the nice ones, that's borer. Then you have to smooth them out, that's memachik. We're not going into that, maybe some other time. And then he says, you have to take each reed and slice it, because they're not when it's a reed, it's round. It's not flexible. If you want it to be flexible and go in and out, in and out, in and out, to make your wicker, what do you have to do? You have to slice it in half or slice it into thirds or quarters. So you have long strips of reed that don't have that circular strength, but rather they could be easily bent. So you made them dak, that famous word that Rashi is using, thin, into two or three strips. That, says Rashi, is tochein. So, is this an explicit Gemara or not? I don't really know. All the Gemara says is if you make a wicker basket, you violated 11 malachas. Rashi told me, well, one of those was cutting the reed into long, thin slices. I ask you, dear friends, is that chopped or minced? Did I make this reed into a powder or a flour? Absolutely not. I made it into long, thin strips. And therefore, if we would stop here, what would we conclude? Can I slice those green, yellow, red, orange peppers into long, thin strips to accent my string bean salad? Can I slice those red onions into long, thin strips? I don't care if I do it with a knife or my hand. We said before, it doesn't matter whether you use tools or your mouth or anything else. If you make those deep purple red onion slices, is that going to be okay? Did you ever go to a wedding and the caterer gives you like a few baby carrots or a few string beans tied around with a scallion? So they had to take the scallion and slice it in half or into thirds to have long strips of scallion so they could tie it normally. That's exactly what happened in this story in the Gemara. You take a reed and you wanted to weave it. Here, the caterer doesn't want to weave it. They want to wrap it around the string beans or the baby carrots so they could tie it easily. So it sounds like the same exact thing. Am I not allowed to tie those scallions? Because the caterer, or if you want to serve a fancy plated dish to your guests, are you permitted, or is it usher, to slice that scallion into long, thin strips? Well, Rabbi Yasha says, based on what we just learned, the story in the Gemara, not the story, but the statement in the Gemara, that if somebody makes a wicker basket, he violates 11 malacha d'oraisas, and Rashi says one of them was slicing your reed into thin slices. Rabbi Yasha says one is prohibited to slice vegetables or any other item into long, thin. I mean, if you just kind of, if you have a pepper, my kids eat pepper, right? So my wife wants to put pepper on a plate. So she slices the pepper into, 8, 12, maybe even 16, strips. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is when you want to make it really thin. So if you want to make it really thin, such that, 20, 30, 40 slices out of a whole pepper, that, Rabbi Yasha would say, is usser. Uh-oh. But, that was Rabbi Yasha. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, an Igros Moshe, in Orach Chaim, Chelek Dalet, Simon Ayin Dalet. Not that I expect anyone to remember, but this has been the most often quoted Reb Moshe that I've in this whole Shir series. The reason for that is because this Shaila that Reb Moshe got was Orach Chaim, Chelek Dalet, Simon Ayin Dalet, was a list of questions that Reb Shimon Eider. People know Reb Shimon Eider. He was the one who wrote the first Halachas of blank series, the Halachas of Shabbos, the Halachas of Nida, the Halachas of Sfiras Omer, the Halachas of the 3 weeks. He's the one who first wrote the English, an English Halacha Sefer. And this Shaila in Igros Moshe is a list of about 40 or 50 or 60 questions on Hilchas Bishul. We did that. About a list of about 20 questions in Hilchas Borer. We did that. And a list of a bunch of questions on Hilchas Tochein, we're going to start that. So that's why this is, and Muktzah, so like he has, and also the questions that he asks are all the very practical, like, I know this machlokes isn't it, but what do you do, Lamaisa? Could you put ketchup on a hot potato from the Cholent on Shabbos? Those are the kinds of questions that he's asking. And therefore, they're very halach Lamaisa, very contemporary. That's why you mentioned this specific Shaila at least a dozen times over the course of the past 2 years. So it's now more than a dozen. So in this Shaila, he was asked, Reb Shimon Eider, when he got to Tochein, asked Reb Moshe Feinstein, Tochein by vegetables, is it only if I chop it in two directions? If I chopped it both horizontally and vertically, meaning I diced it, I minced it, like you chop something to make it a powder or something, a flour? Or is it also considered tochin if you make long strips? You want to make long carrot strips or long, he didn't say pepper strips, or long melafafonim, cucumber, agvaniyot, long strips out of tomato. What's going to be the halacha? So what's Rav Moshe going to do? He knows the Gemara. He knows the Gemara that Rabbi Yashiv used to Aser. I mean, Rav Moshe was a little bit before. I mean, they were both simultaneous, but Rav Moshe was a little older than Rabbi Yashiv, I assume. Rav Moshe died when I was in fifth grade. So that makes it about 27. He died about 27 years ago, give or take, 28 years ago. So, and Rabbi Yashiv just died a few years ago, two, 3 years ago. So Rav Moshe says, you know that Gemara that talks about making the wicker basket that he had to, Rashi said he had to slice the reed into like two or three so it's more bendable? You know that Gemara? He says, that Gemara that says that when you make a long, thin strip, that's only talking about non-food items, like a wicker basket, like a reed. Because otherwise, did anyone ever hear of, oh my gosh, Dad, you sliced the challah too thin. That's tochein. Even when you came back from seminary, you didn't say that. And that, Rav Moshe says, is clearly an indication that it's not a problem. He doesn't say the word seminary, I'm sorry. He says there's no, otherwise there'd be no cutoff point, that you wouldn't be able to cut a slice of lechem too thin. I mean, we never heard of such a thing. The only problem is, you know, okay, for when it comes to non-food items, I hear what you're saying, Rabbi Yashiv. I mean, that's what the Gemara said, as Rashi explained. You slice the reed into long, thin slices. But when it comes to food items, we've never heard of an isser of making long strips of something. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, one would be permitted to make long strips of pepper, long strips of scallion, long strips of onion. That would be permitted, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein. Against Rabbi Yashiv's Chumrah. Like Rav Moshe's Kula is also Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, he's talking about an onion. He says, Mutar lachtok dak dak meha ovi shel tznon. You could cut very thin slices from the thickness, meaning one direction of a radish, tznon is a radish, right. If you cut very thin slices of radish, that would be okay. I don't think it's just radish. As long as you're not doing it, your cutting is unidirectional, not multidirectional, not two-directional. And that probably is the consensus, at least, I don't know, I haven't seen too many other postgames, so it seems to be machlokas. And we're Americans, so I think we have the right to rely on Rav Moshe. So if you want to be machmir, not to cut thin slices on Shabbos, that's fine. If, you know, you need to make the salad or you want to really want to and you just didn't get a chance to slice the onion before Shabbos, so I think you could rely on Rav Moshe to slice your thin slices on Shabbos. If you want to avoid it, to be machmir for Rabbi Yashiv, you're a holy person. Yeah. Yeah, if you cut thin slices in two directions, that's called chopping or mincing.
Does it matter in which direction?
Like no.
Scallion,
no. Oh, yeah. I was talking about something else for scallions. I was talking about making long strips of scallion so I could tie a knot around my string beans. If you want to, scallions are very narrow, but they're long. So if you cut horizontally so that you have a little strip of scallion, so if you cut it small, that would be a problem on Shabbos. That would be dicing, yeah. So if you have a scallion and you're just cutting, right, you have a scallion this way. Look at my hand, going from up, down. And then you take a knife that's perpendicular to the height or the length of the scallion, and you go like this to chop it. Usually they're very small. I think that would be a problem of tochein. Yeah, chopping up a scallion, dicing a scallion, I think would be a problem on Shabbos of tochein, yeah. Well, so there's one factor that will come into play, but it's probably going to be aser anyway. And halacha mice, I would think chopping a scallion would be aser, yeah. Dara? Right, but I was talking about to make long strips. What she's talking about is not to make long, short, what she's not talking about making strips. She's talking about just the way scallions are very narrow. So if you cut in one direction, the wrong direction, I was talking about making long strips of scallion. That's okay, according to Moshe. But cutting it the other direction, such that you're cutting it perpendicular to the length of the scallion, then that's just making tiny pieces of scallion. That, I think, should be usher. Any questions? Yeah.
That could be the same kind of cucumber super thin. A cucumber is big enough.
Well, cucumber, if you cut it in one direction, Rav Moshe would be say it's mutter. If you cut it in two directions, that's dicing.
It's bigger than the scallion.
What?
They're not small.
It's a, again, if you make small, little, tiny chunks of cucumber, that would be tochen. That would be cut, like cutting the beets.
Right, but the one direction wouldn't be like the scallion, because the scallion is small.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you mean slices, if you make slices of, right, very thin slices of... celery would be harder. Let's talk about cucumbers because that's a little clearer in my mind. If you want to make slices of cucumber, right, for a cucumber salad, perfect. I think that would be, and they're very thin, right? So I think that would be mutter according to Rav Moshe. And perhaps Rav Yosha would say it's a problem. Thank you. Excellent. Somebody remind me to add that to my notes. Yeah. Great question. So let's talk about what is it called? Mandolin, as in a mandolin? Cool. Okay. So I think Rav Moshe was asked that, but I didn't cut and paste that tshuva. Could you use a slicer to make these thin slices? I don't remember. We'll have to talk about it when we compare it to other malachas where there's a difference between using your hands and using tools, like borer is such a distinction, biyad, and as opposed to using a tool. Remind me, and I'll try to deal with that. Because you also have that question with egg slicers. I don't know how thin egg slicers slice the eggs. It's not so thin. But that kind of tool that you, or maybe even a, is there like a tomato slicer? Or am I making that up? Right, excellent, excellent. Yeah, cheese slicer. Very good. That would be a case where you're doing something, making a very thin slice of the cheese, just the top layer of cheese. That would be this machlokas. So Yasha would probably say that's aser. And Rav Moshe would say that would be mutter. Again, we're putting aside the fact that there's a tool involved. Even if you do it with your hands, it would still be aser. Does the tool change anything? I have to look that up. Yeah. You work for a cheese company. Yes, what do you want to say?
I thought that tipping only applies to something that comes from the ground.
That's something that we have to discuss.
Cheese.
Yes, cheese might not come from the ground. Cheese comes from an animal, even though it eats from the ground, it doesn't grow from the ground. And therefore, we have to see what the parameters of tochin for non Gidule Karka items will be. That's not going to be tonight. That'll be probably in a few weeks. Let's see if we could make one more point. Yes, Ilana, sorry.
I wonder if you said about
correct. We're talking about an Israeli salad, yes. You could eat Israeli salad. Should you make Israeli salad? That we're going to have to wait till next week. I'm sorry, you're going to have to come back next week to know if you can make an Israeli salad on Shabbos. Well, obviously, it depends how Israeli you are. If they're big chunks of Israeli salad, that's going to be okay. If they're smaller, we'll have to see next week how small is small. But yes, Israeli salad is exactly the issue. Is it going to be like mincing the beet that we talked about earlier tonight? How small is that chunk of cucumber and tomato? Yeah. You're asking, when you say that it's proportional, that the issur of tochen is proportional, is that only proportional, the small piece is proportional to this thing that you started with, like a chip of wood, a piece of wood from a log, as opposed to a piece of beet from a beet? Or is it proportional to what you usually want? Usually I have my pieces of Israeli salad like this. On Shabbos, I make the chunks bigger. Does that make it better? We're going to see somebody in one of the poskim says that. I don't remember if he's accepted. But I don't remember. We'll have to check that out. Follow. Yeah.
Speaking of relative size, it doesn't matter with, let's say, garlic, which is tiny.
Great, great, great question. I would say that if you have a clove of garlic and you're slicing, I think we call it, not mincing. Mincing would be put it through a mincer. If you have a clove of garlic and you're slicing those tiny little slices, that sounds to me like a problem. Yeah, I would say usually you do that before you cook, which anyway you're not doing on Shabbos, but if you would want to slice, if you have some kind of salad that calls for sliced garlic, because the garlic is so small, it's like the scallion, and even if you're doing only one direction, that's pretty, in my mind, that's quite small. So I can't say I saw anyone say that explicitly, but I don't think that's a problem. Let's finish off with one more point. Okay, let's stop here for tonight. We learned we had an introduction to tochen, and we found out that slices or strips are going to be aser according to Rav Yosha, but mutter according to Rav Moshe. And next week we're going to talk about why, and the question is a very important question, why did the Gemara say that you sliced, you minced a beet? Don't we have very good terms for the word vegetable? You minced a yerek. You minced a pri. Why did the Gemara say you minced a selek? And that's going to be very important going forward, and Bez Hashem will talk about all these things next week. Thanks, welcome back, and Laila Tov. If you have any questions, you're welcome to come by, and we'll discuss them.